Blog Talk Radio.
Come to share the knowledge and the wisdom of God's word. Let us take that moment to give God thanks and praise him for blessing us today, another day that he has made. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name, and we say hallelujah to your name. We say thank you, Father God, for giving us the breath of life. Thank you, Father God, for giving us the voice to speak. Thank you, Father God, for giving us the ability to move in you, Father God, as you breathe through us, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you continue to share your word with us, Father God, each day through your mighty Bible. Thank you, Father God, for you, Father, the sword of the Spirit, Father God, to go forward and be victorious in you. We thank you, Father God, you continue to work through us. And as I get ready to speak, Father God, let me as David decrease and let the Holy Spirit increase so that your word may come accurately and proficiently, Father God, in a way, Father, that many shall be able to receive. For they will have a mind to interpret, but they will have a heart to receive. So they move in that heart, faith, knowledge, Father God, to move those mountains out the way, Father God. Why? Because they trust you. They trust your word. They trust that you are there and you are never leave us or forsake us, Father God, for we know, Father God, with you, all things are possible. So as we go forward today, Father God, guide me and direct me to deliver your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm excited. Good evening. This is a great day to be alive and be able to come together and talk about God's word, because it is our power source to help us to be victorious in this battle. So today's quote is, nonviolence is the powerful and just weapon which cuts without wounding and ennobles the man who wields it. It is the sword that heals, Martin Luther King Jr. The word of God is active and energized. It is sharp and powerful like a two-edged sword, Joyce Meyer. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews 4:12-13, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide the soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And in Revelation 1:16, in his right hand he held the seven stars. And out of the mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in his strength. So I want to tell you a little bit about the power of God's word. For his word doesn't return void. it always accomplishes that which God sends it to do. So I'm going to tell you the story about Rahab. She lived in a moment when the world was changing. A nation was hovering on the border of her population, waiting the perfect time for the attack. This was not a common country. It was the people of Israel. Reports of the God of the Israelites had gone before them, and everybody in their path was frightened. Their God was open, who opened the waters of the Red Sea, had walked, and they had walked through it. He had given nourishment and water in the desert, and God had protected and assured them in all their times. Yet the walls of the city were secure against the approaching intrusion. Be that as it may, two young spies from Israel had snuck over the border and entered the Jericho to evaluate the situation and their enemy. Before long, the authorities knew. There were two outside of the city, and it was an ongoing search to find them. As they attempted to stow away, they ended up in Rahab's home. She told them in and considered to conceal them under one condition. When, not if, she knew it was coming. The Israelite attacked and took Jericho. She needed her family saved and not to be slain. She didn't even ask for herself. She professed that the Lord your God will be God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Responsibility was made, and she helped the young men escape. The next day, the attack began. The quest was given to demolish everything and everyone in Jericho, with the exception of Rahab and her family. The red cord in the window would be the sign of approval to save her home. Everyone and everything in the city was demolished. Joshua requested the two spies who had made the promise to Rahab to proceed to get her. She went out with her family and looked into the face of the rescuers. She made a home among the country of Israel. Their God turned into her God. For the God of Israel, the one who had made her and chosen her, the spies had not come upon her unintentionally. God acknowledged the craving of Rahab's heart to know him. She was protected and redeemed. Her life was changed. She became a part of Jesus' family. The moral of the story is that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, the power of God, can protect, can rescue, can redeem, and transform if we believe. For with our faith and hope and lives being challenged in so many directions, we begin to wonder if we can be strong enough to withstand the attacks of the fiery darts that Satan is throwing from all angles. However, no warrior can handle any attack if he or she is not prepared for the battle to come. This leads us to the next phase of understanding and developing the trifecta, of what I call the trifecta of God's power. So let me recap. The first part of being victorious in the battle is having the Holy Spirit within us. Now our Lord and Savior promised this to his disciples, and this promise is extended to us today. Scripture tells us in John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Why did Jesus provide the Holy Spirit? Mainly because who the Holy Spirit was to him. He knew that he would do the same for us. For you see, the Holy Spirit worked with Jesus while he was on the earth. And what was he to Jesus? He was his teacher, his counselor. He was the illuminator, the inspirator. He was the advocate. He was the power source of Jesus that Jesus relied on throughout his whole ministry. In order that he would help to fulfill God's plan, and we would be able to continue that plan that God had given to all of us to go into the world. In the scripture, it validates this in John 14:16. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and will be with you forever." So once we receive the Holy Spirit, he's with us forever. But we must remember, when we speak of the Holy Spirit, he is not an it. He is a person. He is a member of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what role did I talk about last week in regards to what the Holy Spirit played in the Trinity? He was to fulfill, energize, empower, compel behavior, produce qualities of character, to work in and through God's creation. That's us. And the key points I asked you to remember was, he is not the creator, but there is no creation without him. He is not the Father, but there is no confirmation of our relationship with the Father without him. He is not the entire summation of God Almighty, but there is no expression of God's will apart from him. And he is not the Son, but there is no awareness of sin and no saving knowledge of Jesus Christ apart from him. This is powerful, people, because we would just be running rampant if we didn't have the Holy Spirit to convict us. But when he convicts us, he helps us. And he helps us to understand the knowledge of God's word so that it will convict us so we can stay on the right path. And next, he was not Jesus, and Jesus didn't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit empowerment. He knew that the Holy Spirit would empower him, so he done nothing without him. See, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit each had their own function and role, if you will, but at the same time, they worked in unison. And Jesus recognized the power of the Holy Spirit, and he assured that he would continue to work with the Holy Spirit and go forward and do the will of God. And so what is the Holy Spirit to believers? The Holy Spirit is God's promise to the believer. For you see, the Holy Spirit has this unique relationship with us. The word tells us that if we accept Christ for the atonement of our sins, we will have the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because he sealed the commitment to Jesus. He is God's seal and guarantee on our lives. Hallelujah. And where we too have the full relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, because they're not separable from each other. But we can't separate the Holy Spirit from the Trinity. We either accept all or none, for they are united. And secondly, the Holy Spirit would give the believers power. For in Acts 1:8, it said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's good news that we're going to share with others. And what it tells us is that we got work to do. See, we don't get the power, as Joy said last week. He don't give us the power to do easy things. He gave us the power to do the impossible things. He takes ordinary people so they can do extraordinary things. For we can see in Jesus' request to his Father for us to receive the Holy Spirit, for he knew that we need the Holy Spirit to help us continue to fight and be faithful and stand fast and effective in the battle. Because this is a battle, people. And that pain and suffering would come, and then we would need to be prepared so we can continue to fight the good fight of faith. The scripture tells us in Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, 19-21, he said, the exceeding greatness of God's power towards us, who believe according to the works of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We talked about that Sunday of the resurrection power of Christ, and seated at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, and might, and dominion. Basically, Jesus in charge. And he wanted us to know that we have full resurrection power with the Holy Spirit living in us as we go through our life. And next, the next thing we need to be victorious in this Christian walk is that we need the sword of the Spirit. Yes, I said the sword. Do you notice that God continues to relate much to the Spirit? Not our mind, not our education, not our money, not our status, not our healing power, but to the Spirit, because we're not in a physical warfare. Let's see what the scripture says about this in Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness in these ages. We wrestle against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. And then in 2 Corinthians 10:45, it says, the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But I want to go back over this, because sometimes we get caught up in the physical aspect of the enemy, if you will. See, we look at the people, but we miss that these are spiritual warfares. This is not the flesh and blood. So we get upset with each other, we get bent out of shape, we hold anger and hatred and ill will and grudgery. We have to ask, where is this source of these feelings coming from? Because the first thing we need to acknowledge that we should be walking in love. Love doesn't keep record of wrongdoing. Love doesn't hold on to the negativities of life. Love can bear all things and do all things. The God love, the agape type love. So, again, when it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and rulers of the dark ages, this time, this is what's happening around us now. And so these weapons of warfare that we have, they're not, you know, the things we use when I was in the Army. We'll get our M16, our 249. This is stuff mighty through God, and it's the pulling down of the stronghold. But let me take a pause for the cause. Let me talk about the strongholds. What are these? Well, they are the areas of darkness within our mind or our personality that causes ongoing spiritual, emotional, or even behavior problems. One can be generally born again, sincere in faith, but have ongoing struggles in thought, emotions, and habits that wage war against our relationship with Christ. We can pray, we can study, we can attempt to discipline ourselves, but often we find ourselves in this situation where we resisted to change. And let me break change down for a minute. It's an acronym I have here for change. See, the C stands for conflict. See, we're in conflict. He said that the word says the flesh and the spirit are oppositional to each other. It don't want to change. The flesh want to keep doing what it do. It like to do its thing. Then when we have to change, we get a little hurt. We don't want to change. We don't make it just like you're telling a child, you can't do something. You can't do it that way. You got to do it this way. They don't want to change. And then we reach that point where we can get angry. And we've seen children get angry and frustrated with their parents when they say, we got to change your ways. We get like that too. But then as we start to communicate, the instance of network, we begin to communicate. This is what we're doing right now, sharing the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. It starts to open our eyes. It removes the veil so we can see. As the man said, I was once blind, now I can see, like Paul was. He was blinded. He had eyes, but he couldn't see. Then when he literally lost his sight, once that was removed, the scars were removed, he could see the power of God's word and the truth. He might have went in with the strong conviction, the strong faith, and he thought he was doing the right thing, but he had the wrong message. And what happens after that? The G represent growth. He began to grow. He began to really grow in the knowledge of God's word, and he went to the disciples and talked to them and learned more from their angle. And therefore, this would change his expectation. Now he didn't go in thinking that it was just the Jews who could walk in God's word, but the Gentiles could too. And now he had an expectation. What God had was the love for all men. So, but how do we get to this point? In the fifth verse, it says, cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience. Let me say this again. The obedience of Christ.
This is the hard part. This way it gets difficult, because trying to be obedient can be a challenge. But this is why God knew that we needed the sword of the Spirit to be able to take on the battle. He knew that we would need the whole armor. So let me just briefly highlight how we can accomplish this, my friend, with the sword of the Spirit. For the phrase the sword of the Spirit is found only once in Scripture, in Ephesians 6:17. The sword is a piece of the spiritual armor Paul tells to the Ephesian Christians to put on as a part of the full armor of God that will enable them to stand on ground against the evil one. The sword can be used as offensive or defensive weapon by a soldier or a warrior. And as you know, my show is the spirit of a soldier. However, in this illustration, it's the weapon that belongs to the Holy Spirit, which is used to protect oneself from harm or attack the enemy or to overcome or to kill him. But we know that that was his mission, the same, to kill, to steal, and destroy. In both cases, it's essential for the soldiers to get unyielding training on the proper use of the sword to get maximum protection or maximum outcome. We don't. The first thing that happens when you become a soldier in the military, you ain't going to your school so you can be a doctor or you can be a airborne ranger. You're going straight to basic. We want to make sure you get the basics, the foundation. And that's the same here with the word. Because, see, we can get the word and we can get excited. And I think I talked about the different levels of development in Christianhood and if you will, or discipleship. And right off, we start off as babes. It's unfair to think a baby should start running. That baby got to crawl first. So as Christians, so we need the same strict training to know how to properly handle the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword that Paul refers to here is the Holy Scriptures. This is what we read as we go through our Bible. This is what we use to prepare ourselves. This is what we use to share with others. The word of God, the Scripture, the sword of the Spirit. That word of God is from the Holy Spirit and is written by man. And we know that in 2 Timothy 3:16, inspired. And since every Christian is in a spiritual battle with the satanic and evil forces of this world, we need to know how to handle the sword of the Spirit. We need to know how to handle this word accurately, proficiently, and effectively. Only then will be effective defense against the evil one. But it will also be an offensive weapon we use to demolish them strongholds. And them strongholds are powerful. I like that whole piece, because it's the strongholds that hold us back. Our thoughts, our will, our emotion, it gets in the way. That's why he tells us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And a lot of times, once we get the thought, the emotions follow. Sometimes they come a little sooner. You may get the emotion first, because maybe you get hurt. Again, your thoughts tell you I hurt, and the next thing you know, you're feeling bad. But at the end of the day, those strongholds get in the way. And that's what we need, the sword to help us. But God refers to his word as a sword in Hebrews 4:12. Here the word describes as a living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. The Roman sword was commonly made in this manner. The fact that it had two edges means that it was easy to penetrate, and it could cut in every way. The ideal is that the sword being able to penetrate means that the word of God can reach the heart, the very center of action, and expose the intention and feeling of those it contacts. In other words, the light be shining on our heart. See, and God, as I recall, the heart is spoken about 300 sometimes in the Bible. God knows what time it is. And see, the sword of spirit had a purpose. The Bible says that it makes us strong and able to withstand the evil onslaught of Satan, our enemy. The Holy Spirit is used the power of the word to save souls and then to give us the spiritual strength to mature as soldiers for the Lord in the fighting of the corruption that happens in our world today. And the corruption that's in our heart, because he's saying all hearts is evil. That's why he tells us, create me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. But the more we get to know and comprehend God's word, the more valuable we become to doing God's will, and the more powerful we will be able to stand against the foe of the spirit we have Jesus, as Jesus understood in the time when he was in the wilderness. Let me tell you about this from Matthew 1:11. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. He understood the power of the sword of the spirit, if you will. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit, here we go with the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. That means he was weak. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus broke out and answered and said, it is written, the word, Spirit, what come out of his mouth. He says here, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, the devil, being persistent, he says, then the devil took him to the holy city, and he had him to stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, he aids, throw yourself down. And Jesus came back and said, for it is written, He said to him, it will command his angels concerning, and they will lift you up from the hands, and so that you will not strike the foot against the stone. And Jesus came back again and said, it is written, do not put the Lord God to the test. Don't test God. And I noticed this a little bit with all the things that are happening in our society as the virus is going around. There are a lot of tempters out there who are not doing what is necessary. They're not gloving up. They're not masking up. They're not doing whatever they can to at least decrease the possibility of the spread. Some, maybe they believe they're walking by faith, but I call that presumption. It's foolishness. But yet they're tempting God. And then when things go wrong, they want to say God was not there. But we ain't supposed to tempt God. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and the splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said again, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then what happened? The devil left him and the angels came and attended, comfort him. Hallelujah. So I'm going to try to cover a few points. We're going to pick this up a little bit, but I'm going to try to cover a few points about what the Spirit does for us or how it works for us, and we're going to finish it out next week. But first, it's the power that it reveals, self-revealing power, or as I like to call it, revelation power. And this revelation is personal. Here's where God, revelation is intensely personal. It is an intimate tie to his person. Thus, when we read the Bible, we are not just engaging in academic studies or research. We are beginning to try to understand God, the person, or the spirit of God. Remember, I stated that his word is piercing and dividing the soul and the spirit of both joint and marrow and able to judge the thought and intention of the heart. God is getting personal with us as well. He given us who he is, we find that he also knows who we is because he knows every bit of our hair, but he also gets to let us see who we are. Where we measure up, if you will, at. Then God's word is purposeful. In 2 Timothy, it tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable. And in Isaiah 55:11, it says, his word shall not return to him empty. It will accomplish what he desired and will succeed in the matter which he sent it. In other words, it carries out God's will and purpose in our lives, and it will be done. As we used to say in the military, move with a purpose. God's word don't go out without going to fulfill a purpose. And I know Rick Warren often talks about having the purpose-driven life. Well, to be able to have a purpose-driven life, you need some tools so you can fulfill the purpose. Well, again, this resource that I'm talking about here, having the Holy Spirit and having the sword of the Spirit, you can go forward and be victorious in fulfilling your purpose. It also helps us to be back to the Holy Spirit. It helps us to illuminate the scripture so we can understand what God's will and purpose is for us. Many people say, I don't know my purpose. But he already told us right off the top, go into the world and share the good news. Go into your city. Go into your state. Go to other countries. Let people know about the good news of God. Because this way, once you get the good news, then you can be prepared for the battles that's coming. Because it's coming. Pain and suffering is coming. Jesus knew that when he sat with the 12 disciples. He was letting them know that he was going to have to die. He was going to have to experience pain. Now, we may not experience the same level, but I know we won't, the same level of pain that Christ did, because he took all the pain and suffering of all our sins upon him. So every stripe that he got on his back, it was way more intensified, because we're talking about for that period of time and for times to come, generations to come. So that pain was unbearable, but yet he took that on. He understood that pain and suffering was going to come, but the greater reward, the purpose of it was that we could be saved, that we could be victorious, we could be overcomers. And then God's word is particular. God's word is complete, but it is not. He didn't give us the fullness of who he is or what he has done, and it tells us that even in the world, itself would not contain all the books which was written. We basically get the trailer to the movie, but we don't get the fullness of God. It's like a parent say, well, I'll teach you a little bit, but I didn't teach you everything about me. But it gives us what we need through the Holy Spirit. Basically, it gives us a glimpse. Because if he gave us too much, and I used to do this to a mentor, told me not to do this with my son. I tried to give him everything. I got back with him. I'm trying to give him every bit of information I had. It was overwhelming. I was pushing my son away because I was trying to get him to eat a whole elephant all at once. So God gives us things in progression, and that's the next one. Developing God's word is a progressive process, which we must take a little bit of his knowledge and wisdom at a time. And when you have the sword, you don't just, as we give people M16, we take them out to the firing range to gradually develop the skill set they need to be experts or marksmen. Well, it's the same with the word. We have to take the sword of spirit and learn how to wield it, learn how to maneuver it, learn how to apply it. Because we can't take it all. Because it's 66 books written over, and it shows us that it's 66 books written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors. So therefore, they just didn't sit down and just write this all out in one day. Time, they developed, and they matured, they developed it, if you will. Because again, this is all about having that heartfelt faith, not the head faith, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. And then God's word is perfect. God's word is true. And John 17:17 says, the word of God is true. The word of God or his sword of the spirit is absolute truth. His word is true because God is true. God's word aligns with his character, for God is perfect. This God word or the sword of the spirit is perfect. For in Romans 3:4, it says, God forbid ye, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So you see, It's important that we get to recognize what the sword of spirit was designed for. But I have a few more points that I'm going to go over, but I'm going to close it out because it's going to take more time. I don't want to rush through this, but I'm going to give you the other 6 points. God's, the sword of spirit is the power to refute. It also gives us reproduction power. And then the word of God is gives us redirecting power. And then it gives us a revival power, and it gives us a reward, and it gets us ready for the warfare. And so as we go forward and we try to work with the sword of the spirit, understanding God's word, taking that time to study so we can study and show ourselves to rightly divide the word of truth, we have to do our due diligence. So again, just as I said, like any marksman, any soldier that goes out, he needs to know his weaponry. And we need to know it too. See, Jesus knew that. Even when he came among the demonic spirits, they knew who Jesus was. And he knew the power that he had. When the Pharisees and Sadducees tried to put him in a trick, Jesus knew the power that he had because he understood how to use the sword of the spirit. See, they could never get him. And when those that were trying to trip him up, he'd come back with a parable. And as he presented the parable, he knew where they were at. He even knew the level of maturity of various Christians when he talked about the sower, sows the seed. When he tells that some, the seed went off on some of the path and the birds came and took it up. You know, they just took it up because they didn't really believe. Then he said the sun was thrown on the rock and people believed it, but it couldn't take root. And then he talked about the seeds that's thrown into the thorns, if you will. And when it get in there, the thorns choked it out. These are most of us. We know the word. We study the word. But the cares of the world come along and choke it out. You know, we get caught up in our will, our desires, our emotions, our ego, our pride. Choke it out. But as we learn how to wield God's sword, we learn how that when we throw the seed of the word of God out, it will take root into good soil, which will be able to produce the effective purpose that it was designed for, which is to be able to go forward and help us to be able to fight the good fight of faith. So as we go forward into the next phase, I will break all these down for you because I know that if we have the right tools, and I often think about for myself, again, if I had these resources early on, what life could have been like? But sometimes we have to go through it to get through it. And I know there are many people under the sound of my voice, as much as we like to put that S on our chest and be the super Christian, we all in the battle. And sometimes we do well in the battle, and sometimes we don't do so well. But having God's word, having the sword to go forward, actually to put it all together, to have the whole armor, you become a better soldier. You become a more powerful soldier. You become a more effective soldier. You become a soldier that has a stronger level of faith. You get to build on that faith. And so you understand that you begin to produce that good fruit, because that's what this being Christian is about, is producing good fruit. So God can really come in, if you will, and prune that branch that's not producing so we can produce even better fruit. And what is that fruit? The fruits of the Spirit. Everything we should do should be aligned with, if you will, the love of God. And that's what he tells us right off the top. The fruits of the Spirit is love. We should be able to create a joyful environment. We should be able to be with people around it. They should feel a sense of a level of peace that surpasses understanding. Where all this is going on, people still need to have hope in being able to have some peace. And how do we do that? We execute gentleness, kindness, and we go and maintain goodness with others. And in doing that, we stand fast. We remain faithful. And in all this, we let patience have a perfect work. And if we do this through the ability of self-control, that means we have to know how to control the sword of the Spirit. So again, next week, we're going to elaborate a little more. But if you really want to get the benefit of this, you have to come into the family. Because this is a family, people. And like all families, there's going to be highs and lows and goods and bads. But at the end of the day, most families are loving of each other, especially when you find this out. May not can go along, get along, because sometimes we just don't like the behaviors of each other. But I always try to say that we don't need to look at the external. We need to look at the internal, because that's what God looks for. We need to do this with love. But and this love that I'm talking about is why Jesus died for us, why we celebrate a Resurrection Sunday, because Jesus died for us. And he said that if we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead, we could be saved. And once we get that salvation, we tap into the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a package. And then we start to begin, as I talked about in another session, to mature as Christians. And that's our objective, to be able to mature, become spiritually sound and mature enough to go forward and be victorious. So, again, I appreciate you taking the time to listen and us to be able to exchange God's word and exchange some of the information that I've gathered that the Holy Spirit gave me in order that we can take one more step closer to being true soldiers, if you will, for God. Because this is what he's looking for. He's looking for the Davids out there, the Davids who are willing to step up before the giants and go forward. He's looking for the John the Baptist to let the world know that Jesus is alive. And he's looking for the Moses, the leaders out there. And he's looking for the Abrahams who will exercise faith. That's what he's looking for. But we need to start with the basics. So I'm going to get back with you guys next week. I'm looking forward to it. God bless you. And I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you just let those who are listening and those all over the world, Father God, receive you, accept you as a personal Lord and Savior, receive the Holy Spirit, and be able to go forward, Father God, because you got all the tools for us to be victorious in you. We praise you, we honor you, we adore you. And don't forget to check out KingdomBuildingPlaza at gmail.com, Kingdom Builder Development. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And continue to be a soldier and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer us. We are